WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News, I'm Tim McGuire. Attorney General Merrick Garland names a special counsel to oversee investigations of Donald Trump.
The Justice Department's investigating classified documents found at Trump's Florida estate, and there's also a separate probe involving the Capitol riot and bids to undo the 2020 election. Both have political implications, involving an ex-president running for the White House again. Given that and President Biden's intention to run,
it is in the public interest to appoint a special counsel.
Garland says Justice Department veteran Jack Smith's appointment will let prosecutors continue their work indisputably guided by only the facts and law. In a statement, Smith says he'll conduct the probes independently and in the department's best traditions. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Less than 2 weeks after the 2022 midterm elections, Republican presidential hopefuls are in Las Vegas this weekend for the Republican-Jewish Coalition's annual leadership meeting. The former president, the only declared candidate so far, won't be in attendance but will give a video address. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former Vice President Mike Pence will deliver keynote speeches in person. Elizabeth Holmes, a disgraced former top Silicon Valley CEO, is sentenced to federal prison for the Theranos scam. Norman Hall has this.
Federal Judge Edward Davila sentenced Elizabeth Holmes to more than 11 years in prison for duping investors in the failed startup that promised to revolutionize blood testing. The sentence was shorter than the 15-year penalty requested by federal prosecutors, but far tougher than the leniency her legal team sought for the mother of a one-year-old son with another child on the way. She was convicted in January. Holmes, who sobbed in court while expressing remorse, must report to prison on April 27th. I'm Norman Hall.
This is AP News.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
Who doesn't love laser tag? iCombat gives you that and so much more. It's a real-life video game experience. iCombat's perfect for birthday parties, special events, corporate team building, or just blasting away at your friends. iCombat at 1023 Spring City Drive off Sunset. For more info, go to iCombatWaukesha.com. iCombat is a proud sponsor of the Black Shirt Football radio broadcast. Gear up, squad up, prepare for iCombat laser tag.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matmere with your headlines. Attorney General Josh Call announcing the Wisconsin DOJ has blocked an online software sales training program from enrolling new students and collecting fees from already enrolled Wisconsinites with a court-ordered temporary injunction. This is due to their failure to obtain approval to operate in Wisconsin. The company Pre-Hired, Pre-Hired Recruiting LLC, and Pre-Hired Accelerator LLC operate an unapproved online school which claims to train students for careers as software sales development reps. They offer financing through an income share agreement which commits students to pay up to $30,000 in future wages. AG Call said companies must follow common sense rules in place which protect Wisconsin consumers from harm. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Join us daily at TheRickSmithShow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is The Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about on the Twitters today. Republican House Clown Show was trending on the Twitters. And yes, get ready for that. It's going to be the trend for the next 2 years. So yes, get ready for Republican House Clown Show to be the, well, Tuesday, Republican House Clown Show. It's Wednesday, Republican House Clown Show. It's Thursday, Republican House Clown Show. This is what we're going to have for the next 2 years. That's right, Republican House Clown Show. And how do we know this? Well, all during the election, all we kept hearing about is rampant crime, inflation, gas prices. All Joe Biden's fault, of course. And all the border, all of the fear, all the smear, all the stuff, all the blah! All of the word vomit that we get from the F channel. And now that the election is over, the person who's going to have the gavel in the House Judiciary Committee, probably going to be Jim Jordan. He's going to launch his first really important investigation. The first one being announced. And this is really important because they've got subpoena powers close at hand. They're getting ready. They're going to save America. They're going to solve all those problems that they brought up during the election. They're going to save all of it. All the gas prices, they're going to give them the border, they're going to crime, inflation, all of it. They're going to fix it all. They're going to start by going after the administration's anti-parent directives. Yeah, this is what we're going to get. We're going to get 2 years of beating up on trans kids. Get ready for it. Get ready for outrage candy on steroids. We are going to have just a steady smorgasbord of insanity. We are going to get, on a daily basis, force-fed the outrage of the day. Now, mind you, they're not interested in governing. They're interested in keeping us angry and pitted against each other and throwing out all of these things that are not governing, but are about tearing us apart. And there will be no solutions, because there never are. And this is my problem with today's conservatives. Conservatives of the past, they would identify a problem and they would come up with something of a solution. Now, we may not agree on those solutions and we may argue about what the right path is and the right direction and how we fix this problem, which is perfectly sane, rational, helpful. Because in a lot of times, I may agree with some parts
we may find common ground. There may be some interest on each side to go, well, there is somewhere we can work together on this. I hadn't thought of that point. But when your goal is just to divide and score points and make the other side look bad in a zero-sum, I win, you lose kind of game, well, this is what we're going to get. So get ready for Republican House Clown Show to trend every day. And the question that I think we have to ask every day now, and this is going to be part of this every day now, is how does this help working people? How is this going to help make people's lives better? How is this going to help working families put food on the table? How is this going to help working families ensure that they have health security, that if someone gets sick, they have access to care? How is this going to help with the retirement crisis that is looming and approaching quickly? How is this going to help us deal with, you know, all of the plethora of problems that are real and are right in front of us? This is not a problem in my view. This is a family issue. This is some family's issue. It's not government's issue. But the anti-parent directives, you know, forcing children to learn compassion, acceptance, and understanding. Oh, my goodness. Do we want a society of mean, horrible, crummy people? Some would say yes. And I look at Elon Musk. Since I brought up Twitter, I bring up Twitter because here's the thing. Republican House Clown Show is trending while Twitter is still functioning. Because, again, Twitter, now who knows? The reports coming out. You remember me talking about the ultimatum that Elon Musk gave out? You either get on board, work long, you know, what was the word he used? Hardcore, extreme hours, intense, you know, those kind of, basically you're going to dedicate your existence and every waking moment to making Elon Musk, you know, wealthier, or you're out the door. And said, if you don't click the link by Thursday at such and such a time, consider this your severance. You get 3 months severance. Well, it turns out more than 1,200 people didn't bother to click the link and are collecting the 3 months severance, according to reports. Now, I guess at the end of October, Twitter had about 7,500 full-time employees. After a mass layoff earlier in the month, that went down to about 3,700. Now you've got another 1,200 that have left. Okay. Did someone leave the lights on? Now, understand, they've basically locked all the staff out of the office until next week, which makes me wonder, how is the Twitters still going? It's on autopilot. And there's this thought that you don't really need people. You just, you know, a couple of really super dedicated, fire-breathing, you know, do-gooder Twitter folk could keep the whole thing running. We don't need all those people. Those people meaning salaries and benefits and all of that. Profit for Musk. A lot of people questioning what Musk is doing. You know, is he destroying Twitter? And I'm going, yeah, he's going to destroy Twitter from what it was. He's not going to destroy the whole thing and lose his $44 billion. No, no, he's going to figure out how to make it more profitable so that he makes more money off it. That's the goal. That's the capitalist goal, make more money for themselves. By crushing one of the last lefty bastions of messaging and turning it back into what they want is more right-wing, pro-business, anti-worker messaging. The whole exercise that we're seeing from Musk is right in our face, anti-worker from the start. This idea that you dedicate your life and you have nothing else. And if you don't like it, hardcore, intense, you're fired immediately. You have no say, you have no rights, you have no ability to change your conditions. You have no voice in your conditions. You are merely the slave in this situation. And again, I use that word specifically because here in my state of Pennsylvania, in the workers' compensation law, it still refers to the employer-employee relationship as master-servant. So the servants in this relationship, they're nothing but disposable. And this got me into one of those conversations recently about good bosses, bad bosses. And I had the opportunity to explain to someone and tell the story of my uncle, who my uncle and I didn't always get along politically. He was a great guy. He passed away recently. Started a company, years and years ago. Got very lucky. He was in the right place at the right time. Made smart decisions. Everything worked well, and he became very wealthy. But he was a good employer. He was the kind of employer, and this is where the story started. When we were doing our Working Class Heroes radio tour, we stopped through Cleveland and we met with some of the labor leaders in Cleveland. And one of the people said, yeah, I knew your uncle. And in fact, at our last union meeting, we held a moment of silence for your uncle on his passing. He said, it's the only time that I've ever remembered in my 30 plus years that in the union meeting that we've actually held a moment of silence for an employer. Because he was that kind of guy. Now, granted, he was much older than most of the people, most of the employers that this guy has been around. And he admitted that. Look, my uncle was, significantly older than most of the contractors that are functional today. But he was that old school kind of employer. He knew every one of his workers' names. He knew their wives. He knew their children. When they graduated from high school, he sent them cards with checks to help them with college. He went to their birthdays. He was part of their lives. He was the kind of employer that if you had a problem, he would be helpful. He wanted to be there. He was part of the community. He's the kind of guy that you wanted to work for. He was the benevolent employer. He was still a dictator, don't get me wrong. He was still somebody who wanted to make profit and all of that. And fought hard. But he was the guy who was there for his employees. Now, the weird part about this, and the part that I find most interesting, he actually went to the Teamsters Union and said, organize my employees. If they want to join the union, go ahead. And his employees did. And they negotiated contracts, and they got good wages, they got good benefits. He was proud of the fact that he built a business, and a pretty big, pretty good size one, that employed 100 people, and those 100 people led solid middle class lives, supported their families, bought homes, bought cars, sent their kids to college, retired with dignity. Led the American dream. But here's the thing. Didn't try to bust the union up. Didn't try to take from them. Understood that his success was predicated on that of his workers being happy, being productive, coming to work, doing their job, wanting to come to work and do their job. And I look at someone like Musk, the new generation, if you will, not my uncle's generation, where there was pride in knowing that, hey, I know my employees. I help support this community. Where there's pride in that kind of endeavor. Now it's, what can I get for it? Now look, the employees loved my uncle. His kids, not so much. Because that same kind of benevolence, that same kind of want to be community, no, didn't get that. What they got was the education, the schooling. They got the book learning, how to maximize profit, how to squeeze the quarter till the eagle screams. Time studies. Lost the personal touch. And I look at someone like Musk, it's all about data. There's no human part of this. And I find it amazing that, you look at some of the responses. Now, fortunately, overwhelmingly, the response has been, this is why workers need unions. And it is. This is the reason working people in every facet needs to have a voice on the job. But we also need to remember that there was a time when employers weren't this. And it comes back to us, I believe, demanding better. it comes back to us demanding that this environment where people were already working 60, 70 hours a week to keep the little bird flying. Now they want them to work 80, 90 hours. The other question is how much of what's going on at Twitter is the smart guy thinking he knows everything and that most people are expendable? And this is, well, a way to cut costs, pare down service, and of course, like corporate America does, start charging people for something, even more so than what they've done in the past. It's going to be interesting to see if the Twitters stay afloat. I expect they will. But I do find it interesting that this is the way we continue to go down the line with employers who don't care about their employees, don't care about their communities, and they care about themselves. That's why it's up to us. It's up to us to throw the bums out politically and to take on crummy, crappy bosses. And we do that through our unions. I'd love to hear your thoughts, though. You can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Going to take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. That's all.
If you're a fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible two-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to therickssmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at therickssmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So again, you remember before the election, it's, oh my gosh, the crime.
All we heard about was crime, didn't we? All we heard about were it was the murder rates going through the roof. It was nothing. If you watched the F channel, it was nothing but crime. There's crime. There's crime everywhere. Everything's crime. It's those criminals. And it was usually people of a certain, skin tone. I was in Wisconsin, for instance, and every ad that you saw that Ron Johnson put out running against Mandela Barnes was scary black guy. Be afraid. Crime. Scary black guy is going to let, crime run rampant, and they're going to come for you. And it's crazy, but sadly it works. And what's amazing to me is if you want to end crime, seriously, if you want to end crime, just have an election. Because evidently crime goes away after an election. And that is highlighted by our friends over at Media Matters, who point out that the volume of violent crime coverage by the F channel in the week of the midterms, actually down 63%. So up until the midterms, crime. Oh my God, be afraid. Scare, be afraid. Did I mention be afraid? And then afterwards, not so much. And again, we fall for this every freaking time. It's like clockwork. It's like they know. It's like they've done the studies. It's like they've done this before. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, they have. Now, speaking of crime, Attorney General Merrick Garland named a special prosecutor, a special counsel, going to look into the Trump documents. Trump losing his mind. Steve Bannon losing his mind, the right losing their mind. Now, here's the thing. When I first heard about this, full disclosure, I first heard about it, I'm like, is this Merrick Garland kicking the can down the road? Is this, you know, him wanting to appear to be, you know, non-political? Is this, you know, what is this? And then I just kind of sat back and I'm going, okay, let me gauge the response. Let me see what Trump says. Let me see what the right says. Let's see if there's a mass freakout. Because, look, if you're not afraid of something, you're going to either not really respond or you're going to praise it as, oh, this is a system that, you know, whatever. But if you crazily attack it, you slam your fists on the ground, and I'm not going to die, you throw your temper tantrum, I don't know. Kind of makes me, So when Trump comes out and says he won't partake in this special counsel probe, and you've got the Steve Bannons and all this, and you've got, oh, it's not acceptable, it's so unfair. Wah! When you hear the mass cry, when you hear the freak out, kind of makes me go, they're worried. Now, we're going to get a steady diet. Rest assured, there is going to be a steady diet of Hunter Biden. There's going to be. We're going to get that. Because they need the distraction. They need the, hey, over here, woo, over here, crime over here. Oh, look, Hunter Biden, woo. They need that. They need the cult to go, hey, Hunter Biden. So every time you go, you know, we had a president who did these things. No, Hunter Biden. But Hunter Biden is just a citizen who did, you know, had no power to do anything at all whatsoever. Why would you? You might as well go Joe Blow. No, Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden. And you go, what has that got to do with the price of, you know, anything? What's it got to do with anything? Oh, but he's tied to Joe Biden. Yeah, and I've said this from the start. Unless you can prove to me that there's a direct link, a quid pro quo between the president and his son, where Joe picked up the phone and said, hey, you know, hey, get my kid a job, and you can't, there's nothing here. And this has been looked into, but it's not going to matter because we went through years of Benghazi. And thank goodness that Benghazi has changed his name to Hunter Biden, because that's all we're going to hear now. It's all we're going to hear about. And we're going to learn nothing more than we already know, but it's going to make lots of headlines. It's going to give the right-wing outrage machine lots of candy to shove down the cult's throats. It's going to keep people enraged. It's going to keep us divided and pitted against each other. And it's going to keep us from focusing on what's really important. It's going to keep us from focusing on solving real problems. It's going to keep us from focusing on getting healthcare or education or jobs or any of the things that need to actually get done. And that's the goal. That's the point. And I keep coming back to this. So for the next 2 years, you know, every day when you know, Jim Jordan or Marjorie Three Names or any of them come up with the next idiotic investigation, the question you have to ask yourself, how is this making my life better? How is falling down this rabbit hole of insanity going to make my life or democracy better? I can make an argument that we have to hold the president accountable. And look, if you come to me and say, you know, we've got to investigate Joe Biden because of this, I'll evaluate what this is. Problem is they just want revenge. So there was talk today, impeachment. You go, for what? Well, we don't know, but we'll find something. And that's going to be the goal. Find something. Anything. Dig. And because it's all about retribution, revenge, about vengeance. Because this is what the era of MAGAGA is going to bring us. Now, the question, again, I keep coming back to this, and this will be a refrain that you will hear from me over the next 2 years, quite often. How does this make our lives better? How does this move the country forward? How does this create jobs? How does this rebuild our infrastructure? How does this put food on the table? How does this make your life better? How does this make our country stronger? Because all it's meant to do is divide us. That's the reality. If the Republicans were really honest, they'll tell you they don't have any plans.
They don't have any idea how to solve our problems. They know how to create them. They've done a
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Quiet. I'm Tim McGuire with an AP News Minute. Attorney General Merrick Garland names a special counsel to handle two federal investigations of former President Donald Trump. Garland says longtime federal prosecutor Jack Smith will oversee the investigations.
Appointing a special counsel at this time is the right thing to do. The extraordinary circumstances presented here demand it. Mr. Smith is the right choice to complete these matters in an even-handed and urgent manner.
One investigation centers on classified materials found at Trump's Florida home after he left office. The other deals with the efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election and the assault on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. A Trump spokesperson dismisses the action, calling it a political stunt by a feckless, politicized, weaponized Biden Department of Justice. Smith will have the power to decide whether charges should be brought and to prosecute any crimes he uncovers. I'm Tim McGuire.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
Didn't work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever, just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. All Wisconsin households are now eligible for free at-home rapid COVID tests. People in Wisconsin can place an order online every month for one free test kit that contains five rapid antigen COVID-19 tests, which are delivered to your door. The Say Yes COVID test program is offered through the Department of Health Services. Roadsides on and around the Menominee Reservation in northern Wisconsin are now bilingual. The new signs are in English and in the Menominee language. The dual language signs first appeared last year and will likely be added in other tribal communities. In sports, the Packers lost to the Titans last night 27-17. Badger volleyball's at Rutgers tonight. Football plays at Nebraska tomorrow. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Run aggressive campaigns offering real change from the business-as-usual politics of both parties.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Keep coming back to it. Trending on Twitter, Republican House Clown Show. And get ready for it. Like as I've been saying, this is going to be the... They should just make like a whole section if Twitter's ever functional again. Maybe this is something Mastodon can do. Because I'm over on Mastodon now. In fact, I am the first follower
of my next guest on Mastodon as we make the mass migration to Mastodon. But yeah, Republican House Clown Show, and here to share some thoughts on that. And maybe I can get him to follow me back on the Mastodon over at the big site there. I've asked my good friend Pete Dominic to come share some thoughts. He's a stand-up comic, also the host of Stand Up With Pete. You can find that with standupwithpetedominic.com. Pete, thanks for taking time for us, buddy.
Rick, I look forward to following you as soon as I figure out what it is. My daughter signed me up because I asked her to, and I have not figured out how to. I don't know what it is. I haven't Mastodoned yet. And the moment I do, you will be the first person I reconnect with, and I'm very happy to be joining you this evening. And I promise no swearing, and I won't be drinking any spiked sparkling beverages.
There you go. And I like how you didn't hold it out as a sponsorship for others to see. Good for you.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, there's a bunch of these social media that everyone's going, you got to join Tribal, you got to join Mastodon, yeah. You got to join this. And I've got a Tribal and a Mastodon. There's, I haven't figured out any of them.
I want to do my own called Shed Talk.
There you go.
So for like other guys like me that, you know, work and basically live in a shed behind their house, and it's just us messaging each other that, you know, how to alleviate suffering and manipulate others.
There you go. I'm going to stick with Twitter until Elon Musk either finally breaks it down or it becomes the bastion of right-wing insanity. And then that's when the real fun begins.
You know, tonight, I don't know if you saw this because you might have been on the air. I don't know how closely you could pay attention, but apparently Elon Musk put out a poll with whether or not he should allow Donald Trump back on the platform. And he also reinstated Jordan Peterson and the Sacramento Bee and Kathy Griffin, even though the former two were never apparently banned. They were just had their accounts locked until they deleted some nonsensical thing they had put out. But that's not what Elon Musk said. He said they were all unbanned, but it wasn't exactly the same. Anyway, yeah, he is making moves to draw attention to himself as much as he can. He's basically the exact kind of archetype of a person of Donald Trump or even like a Kanye. Somebody just constantly needing to draw all of the universe's attention to them. It's never enough. I mean, I can relate. I'm a comedian. I have a certain aspect of that. I think, you know, a lot of people do, but not like to the detriment of others. I wouldn't want to draw attention to myself, negative attention to myself. I wouldn't want to draw attention to myself that somehow takes something from you. I mean, this is just sick, but that's who he is. That's the kind of guy. He's a terrible person, really bad person.
Yeah, did you read the article that just came out? I'm not sure where. I think it may have been Esquire. I'm not going to say where it was, but that he's got like 100 kids and he's trying to repopulate the world with you know, smart people. And there's this kind of eugenic kind of thought amongst our intelligentsia that they've got to save society by pumping out, quote unquote, you know, the right gene pool. Have you seen this?
Yeah, the only thing he's missing is some kind of evil laugh because he is a cartoon villain. I mean, he really is living the actual life of a worldwide villain. I mean, he is taking the side of all the black hats, the dark side, if you will. He takes it every opportunity he can, and he is an insidious character, and he, you know, never let a billionaire control something that so many people love because they'll always destroy it. And, you know, I'd love to get your take on this kind of idea, this kind of work ethic that apparently he embodies. Apparently he works a lot of hours because each hour is an opportunity to draw more attention to himself. But he said, you know, if you're not willing to work like the hardest hours and the, you know, really, really hard, then
hardcore.
Yeah. Whatever he said. And a bunch of people on Twitter like gave him the bye-bye emoji or the salute emoji. But the point is, there's something broken about our culture that there's somehow an ambition to or an incentive to work all the time. It's crazy. It's what you've been fighting for and your brothers, your entire career. It's fair conditions, you know, not exploiting workers and abusing them. And he's basically saying, listen, you're not going to have a life if you work for me. You're going to sleep at work. If you have kids, forget them. We don't do family values here.
No, he is the poster child for why we need unions. I know people say, oh, you know, unions are things we needed 100 years ago. I actually had someone say that we don't need the, you know, any labor laws because, you know, work isn't as hard as it used to be. We just sit on the couch and type on computers now. And you go, I think Elon Musk is the poster child of why we need stronger labor laws and why we need Congress to act at some point down the road to have major labor law reform in this country because of things just like this. Because there are people who believe that their employees should work as hard as they're willing to build their company. And that's a flawed thought process right from the beginning. Look, you and I, we build our businesses. I don't expect anybody that works for me to work as hard as I do at what I'm building. I have specific tasks I want them to do, and my expectations of them are to do that, but never, never am I expecting them to do more than I'm willing to do.
Well, but even if you're willing to do a ridiculous amount of work, I'm not sure that other people should necessarily be willing to do that, because we all have different incentives. Like, you're willing to do all that work. I get it. You love the work. You feel... But listen, I'm only willing to do 8 hours because I want to go home and see my daughter. So I appreciate that you don't care about your kids, but I'm going home to see my kids for a couple hours of night because I want to have my life, because my life is about work. And by the way, this idea that work is easier now because, you know, you're just sitting in front of your computer. Guess what's not healthy at all? Sitting in front of a computer for 8 to 12 hours a day. You become just a blob. It happened to me. I lived it. I said, if I wasn't sitting in front of my computer, I would sit in my car to get to my computer, just blobbish. I turned it. And then as soon as I unceremoniously lost my amazing corporate media job, my body got rock chisel hard again, Rick. I don't want to lie to you. Now I shaved my upper body and I put coconut oil on it.
Oh, wow. Nah, you're going to get a job with, never mind. Not going with the Graham jokes. Not going to do that.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay.
Not going with the pool boy jokes. Not going to get there.
Oh, did you see that documentary?
I did. We had Tom Arnold not too long ago on the program. You know, talking about how important that documentary over on Hulu was.
What's it called? I haven't actually seen it yet, but maybe I'll watch it tonight.
Yeah, I forget the name of it, but we.
I looked it up.
I'm looking for it here at some point soon. But you know, here's the thing: you're not wrong, and there's a reason. There's a reason it's called work. Because it's work. It's not fun. If we don't call it vacation, we don't call it, you know, fun. We call it work. I don't care how long I'm doing it, it's still work. And you're right. You know, we should have, again, this conversation as we had in the past. The fight for the 8-hour day that people fought, bled, and died for, they fought, bled, and died for it for a reason. 8 hours for work, 8 hours for rest, 8 hours for what we will was the battle cry. We need to have that conversation again.
Yeah, and the difference between the lifestyle of the wealthy and the amount, the compensation of the executive of, let's say, a certain media company whose compensation structures I'm familiar with, well, they're all public. I mean, you can go and look at any media company's compensation structures, and you can generally see what the executives are making, including with their bonus, and it's like millions and millions of dollars. And then, you know, the producers that are working really hard on the shows are making, you know, less than 100, that's for sure. And the point being, they're working really hard, long hours, and they could use another person on their team. And when you think about the amount of millions of dollars that the executive is making, and if they could cough up another $100,000, how much better that would make the one person who's working on the show's life.
Yeah.
It's just these quality of life questions about the economic, the wealth inequalities within a company.
Yeah.
You know, the difference between the top guy and I'm not even talking about the person at the bottom. I'm talking about hardworking producers staking with the media company model. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. And how people can't see that and always be outraged by it on the same page is always, you know, something that I'll never be able to figure out. God forbid the sex scandal that brought down a dynasty. That's the name of that show about the Falwell pool boy.
No, I mean, but you know, you're talking about media companies. I look at the railroads. You know, they want to put one guy on a 7-mile long train. You mean you can't kick in another salary to have two guys on a train? Really? And this is how they squeeze the quarter till the eagle screams. Why? So they want more for themselves. And this is where, again, why we need to have stronger unions and workers who understand the value. And again, Elon Musk in this moment, I think, is priceless, because this is going to, I hope, wake people up to the reality is there are no benevolent dictators. I'm sorry. There are just dictators.
And you're talking about labor regulations, which you know best, and the moralities of it all, the equanimities and so on. But I mean, we can just be talking about regulating social media companies. And that conversation is being had in Congress, and we've heard some of it. And it's an interesting breakdown how it goes in society. Should Facebook be regulated? People don't know what that means, so they don't know how to answer the damn poll question. Darn poll question. But the point is, they definitely need to be regulated. There Yes. need to be rules and regulations around social media companies. You can't live tape a mass murder. Can't do it. Can't post on Facebook. Not allowed. As soon as we realize this has to be shut down, and there have to be ways so that Facebook can't help Russia steal the election with Cambridge Analytica and all of the data that they shared. I mean, there have to be all kinds of regulations of social media companies. And in this case, obviously, regulations from the FTC, which Elon Musk is not afraid of. But, you know, what power do they have over him? We need to have governments that are strong enough to regulate these companies so that they can't destroy our lives.
Yeah, no. They talk about job-killing regulation. What about the people-killing lack of regulation? You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're here with Pete Dominic, stand-up comic, host of Stand Up With Pete. You can find that at standupwithpetedominic.com. We'll get links out.
Also, look for me on Mastodon.
Of course, both of us. Yeah, I mean, eventually you're going to follow me back. You know, so that's how that's going
to
work.
As soon as I figure out how to get into my Mastodon account and what it is, I will follow you back.
It's a giant elephant, as far as I understand. But I want to go back to the Republican House clown show, because that's going to be the theme every day for the next 2 years. Yeah. And what we saw, you know, again, elections have consequences up to the election. Great bait and switch, I got to argue. Before the election, it was crime all the time. It was inflation all the time. It was gas prices are out of control. The border's out of control. And now it's, well, we've got to investigate Hunter Biden, got to find out what his underwear size is. Now we're going to investigate the parent directive, anti-parent directives by the Biden administration, whatever the heck that is. So we're going to have all these Republican House clown shows.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. But I think I've found the best way to explain and understand what it'll mean is we can look at recent times when Republicans had the House majority and therefore the chairmanships of the oversight committees that do these investigations, et cetera. And they had these scandals like Fast and Furious, which was a complex and actually fairly regular traditional law enforcement action that, whether it was ethical or not, was being done by the FBI for a long time, which is basically gun running. You send these guns in, you track them, you find out who gets them, you bust them. And it's controversial, but that was Fast and Furious. And then you had, of course, Benghazi. You had the IRS scandal. I mean, and these things were mostly made up out of an event that did or didn't happen quite the way they're saying it. But if you look at it as a writer's room for a weekly television drama or something, that's really the better way to look at it, because really they're sitting there going, I mean, these seeds are always planted on talk radio and right wing media. And then Lindsey Graham or Jim Jordan or somebody picks it up. And then Lindsey Graham says, now, what if we took this situation that we're seeing play out, this Pelosi situation, right? And what if we said, we need to investigate Nancy Pelosi and her husband, Paul, what kind of crazy activities were happening in that apartment that night. And we need to implicate all the investigators. Like, they write these up and then they investigate them. They just do it backwards. They create the scandal. I mean, and I'm not saying, like, I'm not making this up. It happened in my town, Rick. In my town, for our school board of education fight, what they did here in my town, the right, the white supremacists, fascists, whatever you want to call them.
The Moms for Liberty.
They created controversies in the high school. And those of us that have kids in high school and talk to the teachers in high school and work in high school and volunteer in high school, we're like, wait, this is not, no way, no, no.
Was it the theory about race that's critical, or was it the cat boxes?
It was those things. It wasn't the cat boxes, but it really were things like, they would go on, what you do in any community is you go on the community Facebook page, for which there could be several, and you post a narrative, a thing that happened, but it doesn't have to be true. And then the town starts going, oh my gosh, this happened at the school? And everybody that living in reality is going, no, that's not what happened. Or no, the opposite of that actually happened. The point being, they come up with a narrative and then they go investigate it, and everybody being investigated like, wait, what? You're investigating, what is happening right now? This is not a scandal. They make things up to investigate, and then they ignore real things like the financial crisis or the climate crisis or any other number of issues like the insurrection. They ignore those real things that we see happening with our own eyes, and in effect to them in their house, at their office, there was an insurrection that came to them, and they're like, we didn't see it. But what we did see is Benghazi. What we did see, you know, Jim Jordan, no need to investigate whether or not the 40 people who blew the whistle, no, saying that he knew about the sexual assaults occurring at Ohio State. Now, we don't need to investigate that. But what we do need to investigate is Nancy Pelosi's husband's sock drawer. It's crazy, but that's what they do.
And what would we find in his sock drawer? Would we find socks?
Probably
or underwear?
Probably stocks and bonds.
Maybe Hunter Biden's underwear.
The laptop from hell.
Are you tired of winning yet?
You know, I will say, I'm pretty relieved by the results of the election. I'm pretty relieved that the fact that the vast majority of the election deniers who lost conceded their loss. Outside of Kerry Lake, almost all of them admitted it. And I think that we walk a little bit further back from the precipice.
I don't know. I'm expecting Kerry Lake to be vice president in 2 years.
I don't think that would be surprising at all. She's really good in her role of mini Trump. I mean, it's like I said about Elon Musk. It's to some extent Ron DeSantis and others. A lot of people are copying him. You know, around the world, Bolsonaro, other. I mean, it's not like Trump was the original, obviously, authoritarian. There's been plenty of history for those of us who didn't live through actual historians to see what the game plan is. And Trump read about all of them and, you know, copied them. He's orange, for goodness sake. So this is, I think, a good development that we have, that character is, at least for the moment, lost. At least for the moment, lost also in Brazil. You know, like, that's a huge win in Brazil. So I'm taking the wins where we get them and breathing a sigh of relief and then going right back at it.
No, I'm right there with you. I'm, you know, here in my state of Pennsylvania, so happy that Doug Mastriano was not just beaten, but beaten soundly and in public on election night.
Yeah, thumped by a really smart, well-qualified candidate, not to mention, you know, Fetterman in Pennsylvania. So it's interesting to see what happened there, but unfortunately also interesting to see what happened in my state of New York, where I now have a Republican congressman, Rick, because the propaganda of crime hysteria had an effect. And the reason why it's pathetic is because, you know, where I live, Rick, I live in, quote, U.S. News and World Report, third safest county in America.
Of course.
In America. Well, and people, my neighbors were worried about crime. And I was like, wait, do you even know anybody who knows anybody who has been a victim of violent crime in our county where we live?
Nope.
Well, what about what's happening in New York City? What's happening in New York City? I mean, look at all the statistics. Statistics do not point to this. It was a made up, like CRT, and it worked. It really scared people. And of course, CRT and crime are just code for black folks. And it works. It's an age old playbook. And it was effective here, unfortunately. And it's really pathetic because we pay a lot of money to live in this super safe place.
Yeah. Last question I wanted to get to you. The The sentencing today. I'm sure you saw this story of this Dustin Thompson, college-educated Ohio man, just wanted to get the approval and the respect from Donald Trump when he broke into the Capitol on January 6th, decided he was going to steal some stuff, you know, a coat rack, some booze, a pager, turned down, I guess, a 60-day plea bargain. They were going to give him 60 days, and now 3 years in jail. Thoughts?
I think it's really important that all of these people who commit this crime are going to jail, because it's a signal to people who would do it at the Michigan State House or other state capitals that there is still a penalty for, in this case, white people with guns who are trying to take over the Capitol. Most people don't like that and thought that was wrong and horrible and a specific form of uniquely American domestic terrorism. And all of those people who committed those crimes and who did those things are getting harsh penalties. I think that's great. Obviously, like most folks, I would like to see justice to the people who helped organize and inspire and lead and cheer on. And then, most importantly, and this doesn't get said enough, not stop when it was happening. Right. When it was happening, he just sat there.
Yep.
Because he wanted it to happen, even if he wasn't planning it, even if he wasn't behind it, even if he didn't give a speech and cheerlead it and say, follow me up to the Capitol, even if none of that happened, if he was just the president, and he was sitting in the White House conducting a meeting, and someone came to him and said, the Capitol is under attack, then he would have to act, take quick action. You know, Cheney and Bush got on an airplane and flew around in the air at 9/11. Remember that? They were flying around and they were ordering, making all kinds of orders and saying, shoot down. They said, shoot down. Cheney said, shoot down the passenger plane if we must. Luckily, they took it down themselves, so that a poor pilot didn't have to carry that horrific act out. Cheney ordered a plane to shoot down Americans, and Trump sat there eating pudding while the Capitol was under attack.
Was it pudding or was it a hamburger?
It's funnier if you say pudding.
It's funny. It is funnier if you say pudding.
Funny word.
But
to think that he's not even strong enough or using his kind of, you know, masculinity that appeals, man enough to chew. He's not even man enough to chew pudding. He can't even chew. He just needs to dribble it into his non-muscled mouth because he is so lazy and unmotivated. He did nothing as the United States Capitol was under attack by his followers waving flags with his name on them.
I mean, it's not even funny, but it's sadly.
Did you hear me when I told you just now? I don't know if you were listening. Cheney ordered an American plane filled with Americans to be shot down, and Trump sat there and watched the Capitol be America be under attack. I'm not sure that you gave me enough.
No, I was there.
Good point.
I was there. I watched
real juxtaposition I made on your show for the first time anywhere. It's a real exclusive, that juxtaposition.
Yeah.
I'm struggling
between the humor of what you said and the anger that I'm feeling why we still haven't locked him up. But as always, Pete, it's great talking with you. I hope you'll come back and share some more. I know you got to get rolling. Appreciate the time.
Yes, man. I have a lot of really important things to do with my Netflix account tonight.
There you go.
I think I'm going to watch that, God forbid, the sex scandal that brought down a dynasty for
there
another
you go.
Plug.
Good stuff. Yeah. Appreciate the time, man.
Thank you as always, man. I love you and appreciate, as always, the work that you're out there doing and leading. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Our good friend, Pete Dominic. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around.
Are you
tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Yeah, I go back to something that Pete said there with Elon Musk. You know, the reality is he really is the poster child of why we need stronger labor unions. And I'm hoping workers, especially at Twitter, are going, hey, we need to be joining and forming unions at record levels. And we need to be having tech workers, because these are the people who are really the ones who are being put in that kind of situation. No, we're mission driven. We need to be on a mission, hardcore innovation. You know, you can still have those things, you know, while respecting people.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming